and welcome, March the 3rd. It's the Soccer Central podcast. James Sharman here alongside John Molinaro. And we have finally some MLS to talk about today. The season kicks off this weekend. We'll get to the Premier League story and what a crazy midweek it was a bit later in the show. But we'll be stopping in Vancouver and Montreal today, as well as, of course, Toronto. To start with, we're going to head to Montreal, and our good friend Lloyd Barker joins us. Lloyd, what's going on?
Same old, just a bit of cold, shoveling snow.
Bit of cold and a bit of intrigue regarding Didier Drogba. Now, obviously, we know what he meant to that team last year. 11 goals in 11 games to close the season out, powered the impact into the playoffs. Today, what was kind of speculated upon was confirmed, in fact, literally minutes ago, to airtime here. It's been confirmed that Didier Drogba will indeed play in Montreal this year, as we expected. He says he wants to play the entire season, expects to play the entire season. However, he will not play on any turf. That is not going to happen. He will therefore sit for 4 of the first 5 games. Now, listen, Lloyd, you know I'm a bit cynical about these kind of things. And I have enormous respect for Didier Drogba. He's an absolute legend. But you wonder, I know he's 37, he's a bit broken down, but this is not good news, is it, for Montreal?
No, it's not. And I'm calling this the perfect storm against the impact. Because on the one hand, I don't think it's outrageous to suggest that Didier Drogba should play on every turf field. Because we saw that with Thierry Henry, that he sat out turf games and, you know, New York Red Bulls, they managed to pull through any regardless. So I don't think, you know, at his age, it's not outrageous that if he's going to miss a game, it would be the game on turf, the game or two on turf. It just so happens that they play about 8 games this year on turf, and the first 5 games are on turf. So on the one hand, you want to start off, you want to start the season well, so you want to, you know, put a couple wins under your belt right quick out of the gate, and you want to kind of keep that momentum going through. You don't want to be losing games in the beginning and then you're playing catch up all the way through to the end of the season, and that's the fear right now. So again, there are a couple of things to look at here. Drogba's not playing on a turf field. That's not really that foreign a news for any MLS the supporter to realize that these star players, especially when they're older, just don't fancy playing on turf. And sometimes it's for good reason. Drogba carried a knock the last couple weeks of the season last year in 2015. And injuries, I could tell you firsthand, when you're a bit older and you play on turf, they carry a little bit longer. They take a little bit longer to heal. And when you go in with a little bit of a knock, you come out with that same knock plus a little bit more, even though you haven't been hit on that part of the body. So it's just one of those things. It's really one of those things where age catches up to you and the surface, because it's unnatural, albeit it's close to grass, it's still unnatural. That plays a part and certainly hinders the body, especially when you're older. But this is not good news, because Didier Drogba is a big part of this team. The impact will go where he takes them, let's be honest. And if he's missing 4 of the first 5, then, good luck to Dominic Odor, you know, taking the lead in this case, and which they've shown they could do anyway last year when they did this. I mean, they went to the CONCACAF Champions League Finals without Didier Drogba, so they'll hope that continues.
Shouldn't he at least try to play a game, Lloyd? I mean, to come out definitively and say, I'm not going to play, and he said he's not even going to train on artificial surface.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm with you there, John, what you're suggesting. You should at least try. And he played on turf last year. But yeah, he should at least, I believe it was New England he played in, he should at least try. I'm with you there. You know, and I think the other thing too to look at is Drogba came to camp late, and he's not in game shape right now. He came to camp late, not in game shape, and now he's missing the games on turf. So that tells me that he knew months ago that should he return to Montreal, which that was all up in the air to begin with, that he wasn't going to play on the surface. So he wasn't in a rush to get fit, which is why he didn't join the team at the start of training camp, because they're doing things that he's not inclined to do at the moment. So I said it earlier today that I think Drago's season will begin probably at the end of mid-April, towards the end of April. That's when his season will begin, and his training camp really hasn't begun, as far as I'm concerned. Given that he's going to miss a whole month, so it's, you know, I guess in one part he came and showed what he could do in minimal amount of games last season, but the fact is he's a year older. He didn't get any younger, and so the challenges are there that presented themselves last year, and they're a little bit more difficult now because yes, he's a little bit older. He's closer to 40 than he was last season. So those are all things to consider. But for me, I'm with you. I definitely think he should at least try to play one of the games rather than come out and say, you know, a month ahead of time, that's a month before time that he's not going to play. That doesn't sit well with me at all.
Well, and the other thing too, Lloyd, is, as you said, it obviously hurts Montreal, right? Because he's going to be missing whatever it is, 4 of the 5 games. But from an optics perspective, I don't know that it does the league's credibility any favors as well, because he's not the first, and he's not going to be the last European player to come over here and say, I'm not going to play on turf. But when he comes out and says, no, I'm not going to train on or play any games, I mean, what does that do to the league?
Yeah, that's another good point, because, I mean, essentially it comes across as kind of like a diva attitude, doesn't it? I mean, and that's how I looked at it when Thierry Henry refused to play on turf. You know, I mean, yes, like I said, I know the legitimate aspect of the injuries and injuries, and by that I mean to the older players, because obviously, sure, you know, over time now we've heard statistically playing on that artificial surface is not more dangerous per se, as it stands, you know, in a per match situation than on natural grass. I do believe that over long term, if you train on it every day and you play on it every day, then I think that does have a hindrance on you long term. Especially on an older player. But I think in the short term, if it's a one-off game, surely he can play on it. And in some cases, he's got 10 days off between games. Believe me, even if you leave a little bit banged up, you've got enough time to rest. And no, it doesn't look good for the league, because it says, you know, you want to bring a guy over, right away he's going to put in his contract, okay, and don't expect me to play on turf because I'm over 35 years old, I'm 33 or whatever. It doesn't look good, because it comes across as a bit of a diva attitude. And really, how else can you look at it, right? Because Giovinco is going to play on turf.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's younger, you're right.
And you could bet he's going to be trying to score a hat-trick on every time he plays on turf. Right. And then you got another guy, albeit he's, you know, 7 or 8 years older or whatnot. But still, it comes across as a diva attitude. It doesn't look good on the league, the team, or Drago for that matter.
We're joined by our own personal diva, Lloyd Barker.
There's only one diva around here, and it's Lloyd Barker, all right? There can't be more than one.
hey, Lloyd, last season you told us, I mean, you were very close to the Impact, and you were saying that, you know, amidst the goals he was scoring, he was also very tired and very battered, and there was obviously a lot of speculation about his future this past off season. An apparent flirtation with Chelsea didn't work out, but he returns, and he says today that he will and expects to play the entire season. Now, honestly, do you think he will play the entire season at Montreal, or should Impact fans be a bit concerned?
Well, I didn't think he was coming back, and I don't think he's back here by choice, and that's my honest opinion. Now, I don't expect him to say he's leaving in July. Well, I mean, why would he say that? So in one case, they shouldn't even have asked him that question, to be honest with you, because if he's leaving, if he's got a plot to leave in July, he's certainly not going to tell you in the press conference. My honest feeling is that Didier Drogba is not here by choice. He's here because negotiations between Chelsea and Major League Soccer did not work out. And I think in his heart, he wants to return to Chelsea as soon as possible. And if something comes around in July and he leaves, that would not shock me in any way, shape, or form. Now, if he stays, for me, it's the same situation why he returned. It's only because something couldn't be worked out for him to not leave in July. And that's my personal feeling on the matter, because I really do believe Didier Drogba wants to be in London with Chelsea right today. I'm actually of the belief that Drogba will actually retire as a Chelsea player, and call me crazy, but I think in a perfect scenario, Didier Drogba is there now as a player assistant coach, and he finishes as a Chelsea player next April, and he joins the coaching staff full time from there on in. That's my out of the box thinking. But you know, if I'm to be honest, I I just don't think he's going to be fully here psychologically for the entire season. I think he's going to have one eye on Chelsea and what's going on there. And that takes away from a player, because if you're not fully committed to the cause, then, you know, your game is going to suffer. I don't think there's any question about it. And Didier Drogba, of all people, will know that. But I think, you know, he's caught in a situation where I can't necessarily blame him. Because if it's Chelsea, the choice between Chelsea and Montreal Impact and your Didier Drogba, there really is no choice. And I think he's still kind of stuck in that mode where he thinks he has a choice, and he knows what his choice is, and that's Chelsea over Montreal. So this would be something to watch. But I don't suspect there will be any downtime to discussing Didier Drogba from now to the end of the season or the end of his time here in Major League Soccer.
Lloyd, I mean, when you look at the sort of the rest of the Impact team looking ahead to the start of the season this weekend, they pretty much kept the same core as the side that that you know did quite well last year. I mean, Justin Mapp has obviously moved on, and there was a few others who moved on, but it's essentially it's the same team, and they've added some small pieces. What did you make of the off-season sort of moves that they did make, and where do you see this Impact team? Where are they going into the start of the campaign?
Well, it was important for them to keep Laurent Simon. I mean, Simon, I know he was under contract. It was important, though, for him to be retained and not be tempted to go elsewhere, because after the season he had, obviously, you know, his agent's phone must have been ringing off the hook. So I think that was important, I don't think that would have been something that would be discussed very often around these parts. But I looked at that as something very significant. And not only that, they also extended his deal. I think that showed that, you know, they believe in him and he believes in the city. And that was a big signing, because he's a cornerstone in that back line. I think what the message they're sending is that they're content with the group they had from last season. And they basically just feel they can carry on with that. And I don't necessarily have a problem with that. Justin Mapp and Dilly Duke are the two big losses for the team, two wide players. And I'm not necessarily sure that they've replaced them just yet. It's too early to tell. The draft picked Michael Salazar comes in, and he looked good in preseason, but obviously, you know, it's very, very early times, and Billy Duca and Justin Mapp are very productive players, so Salazar has some big shoes to fill. Venegas has to really catch fire, because he had a disappointing time last season, and I think he has to show his worth this year. But those are the wide players. But I think overall, there's a heavy reliance, I think, on Didier Drogba again coming back. And I mean, could you imagine if he did not come back? And all of a sudden now you're stuck with Dominic Odor. No disrespect to Dominic Odor, but for an entire season, I don't think you're winning Major League Soccer title if Dominic Odor is your lead striker. And we've seen he's worthy of. He's going to give you his 6, 7, 8, maybe even 10 goals. But I don't know if necessarily that's enough for a team to win Major League Soccer. And the supplemental scoring had always been a problem for Montreal, which I suspect that's an area that Marbio will be addressing this year. But in terms of the personnel, I think there's one player that they're missing, and it's a player in the center of midfield that plays alongside maybe the holding midfielder when they play two in the center of midfield, but also is a player that gets in the box, gets on the end of crosses, and shows his worth in the offensive end of the pitch. I don't think they have such a player. They've got a huge congestion of holding midfielders. I believe they've got 6 or 7 players that play very similar roles. Eric Alexander, Patrice Bernier, Marco Donadel, Kyle Becker, and the like. Jeremy Gagnon-Lapierre and a couple more mentioned. They all play a similar style where they like to sit on top of their own 18-yard box, pick it up, and distribute from there, and no one gets them up in the attack in the opposition's box. And then it just becomes really predictable that way. And I just think they're missing one player of that sort, a player that could drive forward through the center of midfield and maybe add some goals as well from the midfield area, which they never had last season. But you know what? They finished strong. They did well. But obviously we know, you know, let's not kid ourselves here. Drogba scored 11 goals in 11 games and 12 and 14 overall, including the playoffs. And if he doesn't produce that again, then they might be in a bit of a trouble. Because certainly Dominic Odor is not the answer, certainly, to lead the team to Major League Soccer title.
Yeah, relying on a guy in his late 30s, I mean, that's obviously a big gamble. And Harry Shipp sounds quite interesting, I suppose, in more of a playmaking role. But you're right, there's there's question marks there. If all goes right, Montreal should be a very good team, I would think. But there's a lot of emphasis on one player. Lloyd, thanks so much, mate. Really enjoy this weekend. And we hope to speak to you really soon.
That's a pleasure, guys. You guys take care.
Cheers, Lloyd.
That is Lloyd Barker, our man on the ground in Montreal. Yeah, because, I mean, last year they started so slowly, right? And then they found their form, and obviously Drogba's goals powered them into the playoffs. But again, this year, missing him for the first four or five games.
It's huge.
You know, another slow start potentially beckons. And you can't keep doing that.
Yeah.
Still, Mauro Biello wasn't there to start the season last year as the head coach. So we'll see.
Yeah.
What happens there?
No, I think he didn't get enough credit for what he did when he took over the team. So, you know, and I'll be interested to see what he'll do with, you know, a full season ahead of him. So, but I think Lloyd is quite right. A lot of this hinges on what Drogba does and whether he's going to, you know, play out the season if he stays healthy. So interesting times in Montreal.
Yeah, maybe he plays a full season. Who knows, right?
But it could be.
If he doesn't, and I'm kind of leaning with Lloyd here that I'd be surprised. If he does leave mid-season, then that's just a real shame. And you're taking a team and a fan base and a league for granted.
Yeah, maybe I'm naive. I see him playing at the season, but I just think this non-turf thing, it really irritates me because I think it's really disrespectful. And like I kind of posed the question to Lloyd, like play a game, like
yeah.
at least
give
try,
it a while, right?
Give it try one yeah. game. And then if you're really that, your knees are that banged up, then fair enough, right? Mm-hmm. No one can, but like to not even try and just say definitively, no, I'm not going to like practice or play on that surface. I think it stinks.
You play when you can, right?
Right, exactly.
And if you damage your knees or twang something in your first game on turf and you got to miss two games, okay. But to say four or five, sorry, not doing it, eight games in the season. Plus, yeah. he's not playing every other game either. He's 38
right.
years old, right? He's going to be banged up. But it's a shame. We'll see. We'll see. Should we move over to the West Coast now?
I think so.
To Vancouver, the Whitecaps?
Sure.
Well, another man on the ground for us, this time in Vancouver, is our very own Paul Dolan. Doley, welcome back to the show, mate.
It's great to be back, fellas. How are you?
Doing great. Before we get to the Whitecaps, we just had Lloyd Barker on, and we're talking about the whole Didier Drogba situation. Will he stay? Will he go? He says he's staying. Also says that he's not playing on any turf this year, which includes four of the first five games for the Impact this year. When you hear that, does that question your thoughts on his commitment this season?
I'm in two minds with Didier Drogba. I see the side of him that everyone sees on the videos that he posts or the vines or the dances inside the dressing room. I talk to the Impact players who are with the Canadian team, and they absolutely adore him. They say he's a fantastic fella, a great teammate, and there's no questioning what he did on the field for the Impact last year. He was the reason that they were as popular as they were in the city. He's the reason that they got to the playoffs and then did well in the first game anyway. But when I hear that, it's a joke. You know, to not have your star player play in the first month of the season because he doesn't want to play on one of the surfaces that is in this league, you know, turf fields are a part of MLS, whether you like it or not. He knew that signing up ahead of time. The whole drama of whether he was going to stay or go to Chelsea at the start of this season, I also think was a distraction. And the fact that he's talking about wanting to go to South Beach, you know, Miami FC or whatever it is, and I hear that that's been nixed now, I just find that to be a huge distraction and does not look good on the league.
Yeah, we I think, very much have similar sentiments here. Vancouver haven't got a name player like Didier Drogba, but that's okay. They were the best Canadian team last year, third overall in the league. And looking into this year, Doley, again, they're very young. There's been a couple of changes here and there, but pretty much the same team. It's exciting, isn't it? I mean, this is a team that remind me a little bit of Spurs in the Premier League in that they have probably got the highest ceiling of any team in that they're young, they're still learning under a coach they very much respect and can only get better.
You know, every year that I talk about the Whitecaps in the preview from 2012 in their second season, which they obviously improved on from 2011, their expansion year, and then 13, 14, 15, and now 16 again, I keep saying the same thing. I like what they've done with their depth, and I don't think ever in their short history that they've had the type of players that they can bring now off the bench to supplement what I think is a really strong starting 11. And you made a good point there, James, too, is it's not like they have these high-profile DPs, although they will rely on a player like a Pedro Morales who had a really inconsistent last year because of his injuries and has looked good in the preseason. Again, struggling with a bit of an injury, but I think he can have a big impact on this team this year for them. And I think some of the newcomers they brought in, like Christian Bolaños, the Costa Rican veteran, and even the Japanese player, Masato Kudo, I think those are pieces that they've added now to the puzzle, never mind some of the other players that they've bolstered their lineup with, you know, the Canadian Fraser Aird in the fullback position, who I think can have an impact there too. But I think they're so very well-rounded now. You also made a good point about how they respect their coach and the good job that Carl Robinson has done in the first couple of years as the Whitecaps manager. And I think they have a good blueprint right now and are kind of sticking to that. They haven't made a lot of wholesale changes. I think they're going to stick to their familiar 4-2-3-1, although I think, especially for this Montreal game, we might see a little bit of a move away from a rigid two holding midfielders and have Morales play in a bit of a more free role, maybe in a 4-1-4-1 type setup. But I think they know their game plan, their blueprint from the start, and they've developed it really nicely with some young Canadians waiting in the wings and, as I say, one of the deeper squads in the entire league.
Totally. Scoring was a bit of an issue last year. Octavio Rivero, he certainly started out hot, and then he kind of went into a bit of a dry spell. Vancouver's added Blas Perez and Masato Kudo, as you mentioned. Have they done enough, do you think, to sort of address those scoring issues?
That's a good question, John, just in that, you know, Octavio Rivero started the season with 5 goals in 6 games, and they thought, wow, here's a young DP, a player that works very hard, gets into good positions, knows how to find the back of the net, and then, of course, we all saw what kind of happened in the second half of the year where it just went dry. His work rate didn't stop, and I still think that they'll have the confidence the Whitecaps will to start him as their front runner in the game against Montreal this weekend, rather than Blas Perez, who some people think will get the start right out of the gate. I think you stick with your young guy. I think you hope to build confidence that way. I think he's got the ability. I think he will score goals again this year. But they have more cover. Rather than a Darren Maddox or an Eric Hurtado, they've got a Blas Perez, a veteran in this league, a guy who's done it at international level. TFC fans, Whitecap fans, Canada fans will know how difficult this player is to play against, and now he's playing for the home team in Vancouver. And Masato Kudo, from what I've seen, and it hasn't been a lot because he's been injured in the preseason, but if you look at the YouTube, which is sometimes the only way to get the highlights or the information on players who are coming in to North America and to MLS, I've been really impressed with what I saw there and also in training. So I think that they've got, again, a more well-rounded front line that if things don't go well for Rivero, they can find goals from elsewhere.
You mentioned Canadian fans there, and of particular interest will be Fraser Aird in MLS for the first time this season. How's he looked in preseason so far, and do you think he'll earn a starting spot at fullback?
Yeah, I think he will. I think he'll be the starting fullback on the right side to start the season based on what he's done in preseason. Jordan Smith is the other candidate there. Of course, Stephen Betashore has gone to Toronto FC. He was a very solid positional fullback, more defensive-oriented for the Whitecaps. But I think now they've got two players who can really join in that attack. That's what the Whitecaps would like to see from their fullbacks, as players get forward, fullbacks who can swing crosses into the box, who've got that pace. And Fraser Aird is a very tenacious, very quick player who in preseason has impressed with his runs down the line. I think he's created a couple of own goals just from his quickness down the line and getting good balls, dangerous balls into the area that have been redirected behind the opposition goalkeeper. So I expect to see him there. Jordan Smith, the other Costa Rican on the team, is the one who saw some playing time last year. I think he's decent. You know, I know he's been criticized because of maybe his defensive unawareness, so to speak, but I think he's got good recovery speed and he's able to win tackles when he is caught out of position. But certainly his starting position and maybe his experience is something that the Whitecaps would like to see improve over time. And that's going to happen with a season in behind him. So I think you'll see a good battle there between Fraser Aird and Jordan Smith. And then on the left side, another fullback, not controversy, but battle, I guess you'd call it, is Jordan Harvey, kind of the long-term veteran of the Whitecaps, who's been a real soldier and a very steady player for the Whitecaps, who also occasionally picks up the odd goal, but again, more defensive-oriented, pushed by the young Canadian Sam Adekubi. So I think keep coming back to this depth thing, but there are competition for places in almost every position on the park.
You mentioned before, Bedoli, about the inconsistency of Pedro Morales last season. With this new sort of talent around him, you know, Blas Perez and and Kudo. I mean, how badly do they sort of need him to really sort of, you know, play up to his potential this season and take and possibly take that a little bit of the goal scoring burden off of guys like Rivero and the other forwards up front?
Yeah, because they will hope that he can pop into the area, and he scored two goals in the last game he played, albeit against Minnesota United down in the Simple tournament in Portland. But he has looked very Pedro Morales-like when he's been on the ball. I expect to see him alongside Matias Laba. If you want to call it a 4-2-3-1, he's not a holding midfielder. We all know that. But if he's a deep-lying playmaker, he can do what he does best, which is ping balls into wide areas just in front of those front runners, whether it's Rivero, who loves to get into the channels on either side, or the wide players. I'm thinking Teixeira, Bolaños, Mane. You know, two of those three, anyway, will likely start on the weekend. And that is what he can do best, is he can create, he can play make from a deep-lying role, and then when need be, his set pieces are excellent, whether it's from free kicks or corner kicks. And as I say, if he can be kind of an late arriving player into the box, I think sometimes his work rate is underestimated. He's not afraid to get into those positions. I know the Whitecaps would like to see their midfielders pitch in with more goals. I think he's a guy who can do it.
And what does Gershon Kofi's departure mean, not just for the for, you know, how the midfield would look, but even for a guy like Canadian Russell Tybert and his playing time this year, do you think?
Well, you'd think it would open up more time for Russell Tybert and even Keons Froese, possibly, or Davy Flores, the young Honduran that they signed and have high hopes on. So I guess what you could say from Gershon Kofi, I think it's disappointing that you've had a player who is with you right before MLS days with the original Whitecaps and NASL at the end, a guy that I think so many of the players really liked and the fans loved. It's disappointing that that hasn't come to fruition, I think, the expectations that so many people had for him. But maybe it's a good move for him, and I don't think they lose a lot because of the replacement players that they have in those positions. And I think you will see, once Russell Tybert's fit again, him getting an opportunity to hold down, if not a holding midfield role, if they go 4-2-3-1 on the road with more defensive posture, then even find one of the other midfield places when they play at home as well.
Dolly, the West is going to be very tough, as it always is, but Vancouver certainly look pretty good entering the season. Enjoy the game this weekend, mate, and we will see you on Sportsnet next week when TFC take on New York City FC. Tough trip for you to New York, huh?
I haven't been to the Yankee Stadium yet for football, though I saw a baseball game there.
It's 17 feet wide.
March. What's it like out there? I heard you had a bit of a snow dusting the other day.
With a lot, actually. Yeah. Recently. Yeah, the last couple of days it's been a lot of snow, but I'm sure, I think it's like plus 10 next week, so it should be gone by then.
I think. Yeah, looking forward to it.
But yeah, enjoy that 17-foot wide field at Yankee Stadium.
Right, that word. Sounds good.
Wing play may not be important. Thanks, mate. We'll chat soon. That is Paul Dolan. Follow Paul on Twitter at DolyTheGoalie. And Lloyd Barker, you can follow Lloyd on Twitter at LloydBarker11. To TFC, JMO.
Yes.
And I'm glad that you're here, because I think alongside Neil Davison, no one has covered TFC as closely for as long as you. I think it's fair to say.
That's probably true.
Probably fair,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
All right, so here we are. Year 10.
Yes.
Right? Year 10. And I wrote about this today, and I feel almost guilty saying it because I've said it before, and not just me, many have said it before, but this, to me, is the most complete-looking TFC team that I've seen in 10 years. They seem to be a team that will make the playoffs. I think Grant Wall even picked them to win the MLS Cup this season. And it's tough to argue against that given the starting 11. But history tells us you never crown Toronto FC anything until they actually deliver. What are your initial thoughts looking at this squad and this team entering this season?
If I'm perfectly honest, James, I'm quite leery. And the reason I say that is I think there's just far too many variables at play here that could see this derail. And, you know, first and foremost, they're going to play again this season 8 road games to begin the season. Last year they played 7, I think. This year it's 8. That's not an easy stretch. So they could be behind the 8-ball really early on. Second thing is, you know, I personally like Coach Greg Vanney a lot. I think he's a smart, astute, well-spoken, well-mannered coach. I'm not entirely convinced, you know, that he's the guy to lead this team forward. And make no mistake, he's had his one-year grace period. He's fully on the clock now. He has to produce results. So there's that. Yeah, on paper, they've certainly made what look like to appear to be good additions in Drew Moore and Clint Irwin, Will Johnson, you can't help but wonder, just knowing the history of this club, will it all come together on the field, right? I mean, I don't know, is Clint Irwin
why you're wary and leery, just simply because of the past?
Well, part of it, but I mean, it's, you know, and you're making a lot of wholesale changes at the back too. It's, you know, Clint Irwin as the new starting goalkeeper, Drew Moore as the new starting left back or center half, Steve Bédéchour as the right back. These are all quality players, but I mean, will they gel together? I mean, they're all playing together for the first time. Well, Justin Moore and Steven Bédéchour played together in San Jose, but you're talking about recreate or restructuring a defense that conceded 58 goals this year. You're adding three newcomers. Is it going to gel properly? Is it going to come together on the field? I have questions about that. And I think the other thing, too, is just, you know, injuries and depth. I mean, do they have enough, especially depth up front, because Giovinco is probably going to be away for the Euros. Altidore is already going to miss the first two games through a hamstring injury. He had injury problems last year. How much time is he going to miss? And Bradley and Altidore will probably be away for the Gold Cup as well. So mm-hmm. there's a lot of different things working here against Toronto FC. So
I'm with you. At the same time, I'll just say this regarding the defensive reinforcements. They've gone out and got MLS veterans.
They have.
People that know the league.
Yep.
And yeah, you know, anytime you rebuild half of your defense, this is going to take a jillion period, but this team know what MLS is about. They're not going to whine and complain about the travel. Kentari. they're not going to, you know, be surprised by their physicality.
No.
Right? And I think that's important this year. They kind of figure that out. Even getting Will Johnson, you know, who, okay, I know he lost his spot last year at Portland, but he's a proven player at this level.
Right.
A leader as well. A player that might allow Michael Bradley to move forward more. And I think Bradley might be the key player. I mean, we know Giovinco's going to do what he's going to do.
Sure. Right?
He's going to score goals, I think. I'm not concerned about him at all.
No.
Bradley is coming off a very average year.
That's fair to say.
But he's not an average player in this league. He should be a star in this league, but he wasn't last year.
Right.
To me, he is. If he can find his game, and I know he missed a lot of action last year through a little bit of injury, I think a suspension early on, obviously call-ups.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like it's every month, doesn't it, call-ups in this league? You know, and again, that will probably happen again this year. But if he can just find some semblance of consistency,
but
it could be very important.
But even that is, I think you're quite right, James. But I mean, like, Greg Vanney didn't seem to know how best to use him last year, right? Mm-hmm. Used a different variety of roles and formations. He's going to have to figure that out. That's going to have to come together as well for guys like Bradley and Will Johnson to really thrive and live up to their potential. So again, there's just too many variables at play here that I feel all that comfortable about predicting success. I mean, it might, but
how short is Vanney's leash? Considering an eight-game road trip, right? It's very tough to judge a coach, you know, with that kind of start of the season. But they're starting this weekend in March, beginning of March. If by mid-April they're struggling, is he on the hot seat?
Well, I mean, I think it would take, this is just my personal opinion, I think it would take an Aaron Vinter like 0-9 start or something close to that for him to be to be fired. I do think they will give him a little bit of a leash. I know Bill Manning, the new president, said during the offseason, he set a target of 11 or 12 points from this opening stretch. Mm-hmm. That's doable. I mean, if they get 3 or 4 points after this stretch, then yeah, quite possibly. If he falls a little bit short, if it's 10 or 11, I think there's some leeway there. But I think this opening stretch could be a little bit critical. But I'd like to think they're going to give him a bit more time.
And your thoughts on Seba this year? I mean, you agree with me that he's going to be a star once again. Should he be aiming to surpass last year's totals?
Sure, why not? I mean, I think people will argue that he's no longer a surprise and that teams will know what to expect. But, you know, he's at such a different level than a lot of players in this league that I don't think teams will be able to stop him. I think he's just capable of duplicating what he did last year and more. I mean, all this is predicated on him staying healthy, which, mm-hmm. You know, I think how Vanney manages his time, because it seemed like Vanney didn't really do that good of a job last year with it. He just, like, whenever Seba wanted to play, he played.
Yeah, well, for example, coming back from Euro qualifier.
Well, classic example, right? I mean, he flew back from...
incredible goal.
And that was a great moment, don't get me wrong, but should he have really had played?
But you know what? Look at the truly great players in the world, and I'm not comparing Giovinco to Messi, for example, right? But when you have those kind of players who are that much better than everyone else on that team, you let them play when they want to play. Messi plays every single game.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily agree with that either. I think you have to sort of do a better job of managing these players' time because it's a long season, and you know you have to. Players break down, right? I mean, they play injured. They'll play with like niggling little knocks when they don't necessarily have to.
Well, not always. Daniel Sturridge wouldn't do that, but
that's harsh.
But I know you're saying he's the kind of player, Giovinco, that would play.
Oh, absolutely.
Injury, yeah. And just wants to play every single.
Yeah, he could be stabbed, and he want to play. And I quite admire that. But you have to be manage his time. You have to be smart about it. But again, yeah, to answer your question, I think he can. He has the potential to do even better than he did last season.
Who's your pick to win the whole thing this year?
I don't really know. I mean, I don't go into all these preseason.
I want a name.
Yeah, I'm not going to give you one. I don't know. Honestly, that's the honest truth.
Three teams that you think will likely go a long way in the playoffs.
I would say the Red Bulls. I would say Portland again. Mm-hmm. And...
LA probably, right?
Well,
I know there's some question marks there, but if it all goes right, they're very much a contender.
Yeah, I mean, potentially. I mean, I would say Seattle too, even though they lost Obafemi Martins.
It is
a big loss, but I saw them in the Champions League the last 2 weeks, the CONCACAF Champions League, and it was quite, even though they didn't progress, I was quite impressed with them. So I think if Clint Dempsey can play up to his potential, I think Seattle could be a real contender.
Should be a fun season, actually.
It should, yeah.
It should be admittedly a frustrating season with all the call-ups, but we can't change the rules. They are what they are.
Yeah.
But no, I'm looking forward to it, and it kicks off this Sunday, and our first game here in Sportsnet, as mentioned, is next week in the Big Apple against New York City FC and all their star power. Jamie, we haven't got time to get the EPL today, Prem.
All right.
You know, I wish we did. It's been
well, we can't always do it.
We have it on Mondays specifically, right? We know that, right? But anyway, Arsenal's throwing it away late. Just throw that out there.
Yes. Yeah. It doesn't seem like Arsenal or Spurs want to win the title.
Actually, okay, 1 minute here. I've got to mention Alexis Sanchez's comments today. He says that...
Oh, I didn't see.
Oh, he says that he thinks that Arsenal lack the self-belief and maybe some hunger to win these games.
Really?
What an indictment on his
team.
Isn't that... That to me is a huge story.
If that's true at this point, then...
This year, when Leicester's in first place, you lack self-belief. Leicester's in first place, Alexis.
I can understand. I mean, whatever. I can understand losing self-belief, maybe, but like lacking hunger? Really?
Wow.
When the title is there for the taking? Wow.
If they don't win this year with this opportunity, I think it's definitely time to say farewell to Monsieur.
De Wenger? Yeah, you may be right.
Yeah.
You may be right.
That was our Premier League hit, so we did get to it a little bit, kind of.
Kind of.
But we'll get to it in depth, with a little bit of idiocy thrown in on Monday's podcast. This weekend, the Prem, of course, is all over Sportsnet. And if you bear with me here, on Saturday, we have Chelsea, Stoke, Newcastle, Bournemouth, Everton, West Ham. How about West Ham? What a great story.
Yeah, good story.
Oof. And Leicester against Watford on the road against Watford at Vicarage Road on the late one at noon Eastern. Wow, huge. And then on Sunday, we have...
Finishing. Yeah, I'm giving you signals. Yeah, no.
All right, we've got West Brom against United.
Yeah,
and we got some German action there as well. So yeah.
What I wanted to say was just remind people that Sportsnet.ca is going to have a full in-depth Major League Soccer season preview package. So we're going to have videos, blogs.
So that swirly finger sign you gave me was me supposed to read that we have such MLS content on the website?
Kind of, yeah.
All right, sorry.
It was more on the lines of once you're done talking, then I want to talk.
Okay, yes. Gotcha.
It wasn't an indictment of you at all, dude. So check out Sportsnet.ca. We'll have a full season package. And also, I'm going to be in New Jersey this weekend covering TFC's season opener. So be sure to check out the website for regular reports from me on the road.
If you're smart, you'd wait a week and cover it in New York City.
Yeah, that's
not
true.
Newark.
Well, I go where they tell me, man.
I suppose so. All right. Hope you enjoyed that. Thanks to Lloyd Barker, Paul Dolan, for John Molinaro, and James Sherman. Cheers very much for listening.